Welcome to Bursting the Bubble, the podcast from Houghton College, where each week we share a devotional thought, think bravely and truthfully about interesting things, and give you a flavor of this beautiful, fascinating place that we call Houghton. I'm Michael Jordan.
And I'm J.L. Miller. And this week we have a discussion around the Highlander Wilderness Adventure with our guest, Laura Alexacek. But first, Mike's going to share a devotional thought.
Yep. Wanted to think with you today about a phrase that's become kind of important to me as I think about my own spiritual life, and that is the shadow side. A lot of you might know about your spiritual gifts. You might have a sense of what God has gifted you to do. That's pretty common in lots of different Christian traditions where we say, you know, I want to know what I'm gifted at. And some of you might say, well, I have the gift of knowledge, or I have the gift of wisdom, or I have the gift of prophecy. But what's, I think, equally important to know is that every gift has a shadow side. That thing that we're really good at, the thing that we are really so good at partnering with God with, to bring His grace and His love into the world and to make it manifest in a room or in a community, we can very easily use that for ourselves. And we can use what God has intended us to use to serve others and to use as a way of worshiping Him. We can end up worshiping it, and we can often fall back on those things that we're really good at doing in order to sort of take care of ourselves when we ourselves feel under threat. What do I mean by this? You might be having trouble kind of visualizing it. If your gift is prophecy, like you know that God has equipped you to go into a room and speak the truth, you love doing that for God and with God. But there's also a way in which you know how good it feels, right? So that in a moment when you're just angry or frustrated, you might just find yourself saying something strong and powerful that is cathartic for you. It feels really nice for you to get it off your chest, but it doesn't really help illuminate anything. It just kind of sits there, and because you have that gift, it seems natural to you to do in the moment, but it's not really helpful. I often think of a gift that I have as kind of being sensitive to others, and I think it's part of what helps me to be a good preacher. But it can also paralyze you, and it can also make me manipulative of others, right? If I know in a given room, I'm like, I think this is the state of the room. If I'm not careful, I can use that to take care of me instead of pointing the room towards God. And I feel like every gift has this, right? If you have the gift of mercy, that very easily becomes license. If you have the gift of encouragement, that very easily becomes kind of a self-help. Oh, things are going to be fine. If you're very concerned with the unity of the body, you might be tempted to sort of look past things that threaten that unity and pretend that they're not there. So every gift, I think, has a shadow side. And what I want to encourage you today, I'm not telling you this so that you feel terrible about yourself, not that at all. But I think knowing that the shadow side there is really important. And one of my favorite authors, of course, Henry Nouwen, he would say to befriend that shadow side. I think often we spend our time running away from the idea that we could ever misuse these gifts. We don't even want to think that we're capable of it. But we have to say, no, that potential really does live in me. I might, in a moment, use a gift that God has given me to take care of me instead of to serve Him. So instead of running away from it and saying, no, I'd never do that, I'd never do that, I'd never do that, you might do that. And so acknowledging that you might do it is going to make you more vigilant about not doing it. And so just as you're listening to this today, and again, I know I'm talking to lots of different kinds of people with lots of different kinds of connections to our college, but just be thinking about this. You know, students, as you're hearing this, as you're coming to grips with a sense of how God has gifted you, pay attention to how easy it can be to use that gift, not really to serve God, but because you're fearful of the world around you, you might use that gift to take care of you. And for faculty and staff who are here on campus now, I mean, I think it's so important that what we are doing as a Christian college is not just about delivering knowledge that's unique to the church, or, you know, not just kind of giving people a college education with kind of a Jesus-y smile on it, but so that we who are responsible for the long-term maintenance of this community can be thinking about ways that we do this, so we can model for students a way to use our gifts in a healthy way. And you who are out there who are alums and friends of the college too, be thinking of this. Each of you has some connection with this place, and to be thinking about, okay, in what ways did Houghton help me to see this? Might Houghton help me to see this? And in what ways can I speak to the people who are around me in a way that's really deeply aware of this possibility? We don't just want to be people who know stuff. We want to be people who are healthy and mature because through Christ we have met with the Holy Spirit and have that Spirit living in us. And so be aware of the shadow side and find ways to befriend it in your life. Well, that's all I want to share on the devotional front today. I hope it's a helpful thought to you. I want to turn our thoughts now to our guest and to the topic of the day. And we're pleased to have with us Laura Alexicek. Laura is a Houghton grad from 2001. So some of you might be listening to this who remember her as a student, and some might be listening to this who have had her as a teacher. After Houghton, she went to Westminster College and got a master's in education, and then to Indiana University in Bloomington, where she got her PhD in leisure studies with a focus in outdoor adventure education. And so she's been back in Houghton since 2010 and started that time as an adjunct instructor and then began directing the equestrian summer camp program and worked in the community around until that time where she was doing the doctoral program. And 2015 marked the beginning of her full-time employment at Houghton, and now she is the chair of the Department of Sport, Recreation, and Wellness Management. That is a mouthful. Also, she is the director of Epic Adventures, an experiential program that promotes intentional community, and she still is the director of the Summer Equestrian Camp. And I feel like every time I talk with JL or certain other folks on campus, I find one more thing that you are doing. We need to talk about this. This needs to Yes. At times, someone is so competent that they're doing lots of different things, Fair and enough. We need to help them. So we need to not just pray for her, but also think, how can she be best deployed for Houghton in the future? When apparently, she's not doing... Oh, go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, apparently Laura's shadow side is not saying no.
That's or, right. That's right. We need to talk about the shadow side, Laura. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Yeah, when you are not doing all those things for Houghton, it says that you love to adventure and travel, and we'll hear a little bit about one of those adventures today. So welcome, Laura Alexicek.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, Laura, there's lots you do at the college that we could talk about, but we thought it would be great this first time you're here with us to talk about the Highlander Wilderness Adventure Program. Now, some of our listeners may know what exactly this program is. Some may not. So first tell us a little bit of the history of the Highlander Program. How did it begin? What is the Highlander program? And then tell us how long you've been involved.
Well, thank you for having me first. I have some history with the Highlander Wilderness Adventure Program, and it has a really long history, actually. It has been... It first started in 1979, which was the year I was born. So, you know, it's been the life of the program. I guess we can do the math. It's 40 years old. And it was the inaugural year. It started as a brainchild of our past president, Daniel Chamberlain, along with Coach Doug Burke and Professor Doris Nielsen, who a lot of us knew as Chief or as Mabel, and her husband, Ken Nielsen, who was the Houghton College CFO. And so the idea was to start a program to develop a new student experience for freshmen and transfer students, and it was a voluntary academic course, and it started immediately before fall coursework at the Houghton campus. And so it was to bring groups of students together to have a unique impact upon the campus and community, and it provided opportunities for these Highlander students to be stretched both physically, socially, emotionally, and spiritually, and to learn coping and initiative skills which would allow for success at Houghton and beyond. And so when, in 1979, Mabel Nielsen, Doris Nielsen, became the sort of the person who we look at being the starter, the founder of the program. And so we have had a great history. After a number of years, in 1994, she stepped back and then handed the directorship to Coach Robert Smalley, who has been in charge of the program just up until this last year when it was handed to me.
All right.
And so this is going to be my first full year of directing the Highlander Wilderness Adventure Program. I myself went on the Highlander program as a bright-eyed and bushy-tailed first-year student and experienced an amazing program with some ropes course opportunities, rock climbing at Rattlesnake Point in Ontario, Canada, and then backpacking along the Susquehannock Trail system in Potter County, Pennsylvania. So, so I've had quite a history with the program. I've done logistics for a few years and then I'm starting to think about running the program.
So every fall since 1979, we've had groups of students arrive early and have this intensive wilderness adventure pre-class experience. I'm sure in the last 40 years, there's aspects of the goals that have been the same, and there's some that have changed. But right now, as you envision the freshmen that will be arriving the fall of 2020, and you'll be headed out on Highlander Wilderness Adventure, what are you hoping to achieve this fall? I mean, what's the program trying to do in students' lives?
I think the overall experience of the Highlander program is to provide an opportunity for students to think outside of the box and to interact with other students coming in that are in the same place as far as being perhaps worried about entering college, excited to learn new things, excited for a new community. But Highlander promotes that intentional experience to understand who you are in relation to yourself, in relation to others, and then within the wilderness environment, and to take those things and see how that then applies to your first year of college. So I think the wilderness program, it wants to provide and it wants to stretch students to experience joy after struggling in the wilderness, whether that be physically or maybe they're hungry nutritionally, or even just emotionally, to think about what that looks like and to find satisfaction in participating in the hard work of adventure, to build self-confidence through learning and applying some of the basic skills of camping and traveling together and living in community.
Laura, I won't ask you for like precise percentages,
sure,
but I'm curious, like, so when I was a student coming into Houghton, I remember hearing about Highlander. I'm from, I like to say, rural New Jersey, which is rural for New Jersey, but not terribly rural compared to. So I remember hearing about it and thinking that sounds kind of fun, but I was a little bit afraid. It would have been new for me, and I decided not to do it. So I'm just wondering, like, how many students who choose to go on Highlander are, like, super into it, and then how many is this, like, oh, this is a real stretch for me, you know? Again, not looking for exact percentage, but I imagine you have some of each, right?
I think there is a pretty good mix. We have had students who have stepped off the bus from the city and have never spent a night outside in a sleeping bag, in a tent, in the rain. And so there is a pretty good percentage of students who this is a completely new experience and perhaps not quite realizing what they had gotten themselves into. And then there are students who are very excited, have grown up traveling or adventuring or camping in the wilderness. So I would see, and as a fellow New Jersey person myself, I did a lot of camping growing up, so I had a different rural New Jersey experience.
That's right,
So, Laura, there's some other Christian colleges that have similar types of programs, but I mean, we've been doing this for a long time, and I think it's something that when I talk with participants, it really fits well with kind of who Houghton is, and I talk to the students that come back, and it's a very consistently a meaningful and positive experience. What is it about the Houghton program that you think is unique, or what are you most proud of about our particular Houghton Highlander adventure program?
I think that the basis of the Highlander program, it was definitely patterned, or it was looked at other similar programs like La Vida at Gordon College or the Vanguard Adventure Program, but really dove into the theory through Outward Bound and this idea of experiential learning and the process of learning through doing and struggling through some of those concepts. And I think I had brought a quote because I really like this quote, and I talk about this in several of my classes because I think that this aim for what Outward Bound wants to do is similar to what we want Houghton to produce. And Tom Price, who was a former warden of an English Outward Bound school, he said that the purpose of their program, the Outward Bound program, in these words, "Our aim is that of discovery, of enlargement of mind and spirit. It is that young people might have life and have it more abundantly, and that they can do this only by discovering for themselves with the help and encouragement of what our life's truest values. The endurance, the hard work, the facing of dangers, the abstinence, the plodding on in rigorous conditions, these are merely the means. They are not the ends. And I think that the Highlander program creates memorable and positive experiences because we're challenging students to face the challenge, face their own identity. When they're having trouble climbing up a steep trail, instead of quitting, they're able to face what's hard and struggle in community, and they're able to recognize how positive community is when you're surrounded in that similar endeavor. And so I think that working through some of those very difficult concepts and being able to do that together then allows for that community to transfer back here as a student.
Nice.
And I saw that for my program. We were the front loaders. We named our little Highlander team, our group. It was the front loaders. And I still have contact with some of my front loader friends. So, yeah.
You know, there's something, I think, for all listeners who maybe haven't done exactly like the Highlander program, we all, I think, looking back on our own lives, no matter how young or old you are listening to the podcast, and can point to times of significant growth spiritually or personally that came through times of struggle. And it's interesting that part of what you are doing here is saying, how do we... I guess you don't so much necessarily plan struggle, but you create an environment that's enough outside of people's normal comfort zone as they're transitioning to come to college and leave home the first time, that you know that everyone's going to kind of encounter struggle and have the support to grow from it.
Right.
Does that sum it up well? It's kind of like you're creating the stage for them to be a little bit out of their comfort zone just enough so that they can seek support and grow.
Yeah, I mean, what we say oftentimes with experiential education and in adventure education more specifically is that it's manufactured experience. In some ways, we're manufacturing. We know that canoeing could be a struggle, but we don't create wind and make it rain.
Put holes in the canoes.
Right. But there is an aspect where that could be a part of it, and so it's that unknown risk. And so you know, sleeping in a tent or dealing with the bugs or the heat or the cold, or there is some manufactured programming. The students have a 36-hour solo where they're by themselves and they're not given much food and they have things to read and to journal. And it's a pretty intense time of being by yourself and sitting in that silence. There's no technology. There's nothing but the voices of creation or other, you know, people that you hear on the trail. But could be a powerful experience, and sometimes you don't experience that until 10 years down the way,
right,
when you're saying, oh my gosh, I was sitting on solo and I had that thought.
Yeah. I hear solo referenced more than anything else from at least when I'm teaching on main campus. Mm-hmm. I teach spiritual formation, and
right,
we talk about solitude quite a bit and talk about it as the queen of the spiritual disciplines, that kind of
yes,
thing. And solo often gets referenced as a time that was, oh, I tried that there, and that, wow, that really was powerful.
Mm-hmm. Most students don't enjoy it. I mean, they enjoy it, but it's a looking back in hindsight,
right,
enjoyment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
I think solo is something that everybody talks about, but I also think some people, the Highlander experience is a bit of a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
So are you willing to share kind of what does happen during the program? What are some of the highlights in addition to solo?
Right. I think one of the unique pieces of the program is that students aren't told the itinerary. They don't know exactly what's happening. And like you said, it is a bit of a mystery. And that, I think oftentimes today, we want to know exactly where we are, exactly when we're eating. And this kind of creates the rhythms of the program. Most Highlanders will tell you exactly what time it is. It's always 8:36. And so there's no time, there's no reference or things like that. And so that creates a unique experience for students. And I think that some of the other pieces are that community piece, living in community. finding friends that have gone through the same challenge. There are aspects of the ropes course and initiatives and teamwork. At this point, we just say that we travel up towards the Adirondack area, Adirondack region in upstate New York, and that there are activities like rock climbing and canoeing and hiking involved.
Great. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's interesting, as much as for some people it may sound intimidating to imagine spending a length of time in the woods or solo, I don't know, in our current cultural frenetic pace of life, the idea of not having to even worry about what time it is or what's happening next for a few days, it may take a little bit to get used to it, but I could imagine being really refreshing. It seems, I mean, as Mike commented, kind of solitude is queen of the spiritual disciplines. I think there's almost a lot of spiritual disciplines woven into this type of experience. Mm-hmm. So, well, as we kind of draw towards the close of time, just we'd love to hear, you've touched on it a little bit, but any specific great memories or highlights in the last few years from you leading it, or things that really stick out that you'd love to share?
Oh, well, I have a funny story about being on logistics. At that time, we used to have a motor boat here on campus where I taught water skiing for a few years.
Yeah.
And we took that boat up to the Adirondacks, and one of the lakes that we're on has some low-hanging stumps in the water underneath the lake. And so we hadn't realized how low the lake had gotten, and we definitely... the bilge pump button had gotten jammed, or we didn't realize that we had to run it, and the boat started filling with water. And we couldn't move it because it had settled on a stump. And I think we probably did a little more damage to the boat. That might be why we don't have a boat anymore, is that it went on too many Highlander trips. But we learned how to use that bilge pump. So, but yeah, I mean, just stories of interactions with students on the trails and seeing the joy that they experience when they're done, and when they're finishing a run, and having that time of worship, I think is really neat, just to have those kind of seared in your memory of what it's like to be in that same place together.
You know, one of the things that the boat story highlights that I love about experiential education or wilderness adventure in particular is the leaders even are put into situations that are outside of what they're used to or expected. And so the whole community is put into a place where everybody's tested a little bit.
Yes.
And you get to together figure out how to respond. And so it takes a bit of courage. I'm sure even as a leader you've grown. I'm sure Laura, the freshman in the fall of 97 versus Laura, the leader in the fall of 2020, has grown a ton, right? For yourself, this has been an important trajectory, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I think Highlander was a significant experience for me. And I think there is a risk in choosing to go on to Highlander. And I think for those who are maybe prospective students or thinking about coming into Houghton, I think that this is probably one of the most transformative experiences I chose in entering my college career, that and a study semester abroad. But I think getting out of the classroom and being able to see how some of those concepts transfer into my learning, I can look back and I think that was something significant. So
yeah, and I know Mike might have similar stories from peers, but I remember being a youth pastor a number of years ago, one of my youth group girls that came to Houghton, her parents really encouraged her to do Highlander. She was the first to leave her house as her family, the firstborn. She was a little concerned about going away, and they said, you really need to try this. And she was scared. She was literally scared. She had an irrational fear of bears. Now, I mean, bears exist, but we don't really have to be afraid of them with the Highland trip. But she literally spent 90% of her time with a bear whistle in her mouth because she was convinced on solo or something. But what was interesting is I talked with her the day after she got back, and she said it was the best decision she could have ever made. Mm-hmm. And she persisted with a strong experience at Houghton and is doing well both now in her personal life, professional life, and spiritual life. And it's just exciting to see that she overcame that fear, even if it was a little bit irrational, but she overcame it legitimately and really appreciate it. So Just closing question though, Laura, is there anything our listeners could do to support the program? There could be alums, friends of the college. How can they help with what you're doing, encourage involvement, whatever?
I think first is just prayer for the program. I think as we transition into a new generation of leadership and the program is considering the challenges, the environmental challenges of being in a space that limits the number of participants or in just recruitment of students and prayer for leaders as we're recruiting students to be leaders, that people would pray for that process, pray for wisdom, and prayers that students who would lead the program would step forward and just be revealed to be excellent candidates to be leaders in this program, and that we would have great numbers of prospective student or accepted students, not prospective, accepted first year, incoming first year students that would just trust to jump in, even into the unknown and maybe a little fearful, or that they would jump in to try something new.
Great. So, if we have any accepted students listening that are just toying with the idea, do they just go to the website? What's the best way to get more info or actually start to sign up?
Yeah, on the admissions website, there is a link to the Highlander Wilderness Adventure Program. We have a website or a page within, it's on the admissions, on the main admissions page. And then you can always email me or contact me, and I'd love to chat with.
You'll have to just look on the website for Laura, because trying to tell you how to spell her last name always takes me a little bit of time. But
yes.
Laura, we are glad you are here. Thanks so much for the time. Mike?
Yeah. Thanks for being here, Laura.
Thank you.
Yeah, want to just draw your attention to a couple of events this week. Not an exhaustive listing, but Wednesday we're glad to welcome Dr. Abson Joseph to chapel. And he is the academic dean and a professor of New Testament at Wesley Seminary at Indiana Wesleyan. So we're really glad to have him here. Those of you who might be listening who are Wesleyan pastors or connected with the Wesleyan world in some way, you no doubt know Abson, and he is really solid, going to be really, really good. He's originally from Haiti. He's been at IWU in some capacity since 2011. I've gotten to connect with him a couple times along the way, and he'll just be really great for our students to hear from. If you are listening, if you'd like to listen online, if you just jump onto the Houghton website and click on chapel, and then there's a link to chapel recordings or a chapel live stream, excuse me, and you can listen to the live stream there, or you can listen to a recording later if you click on the recordings link there. Also, Friday upcoming kicks off our third honors weekend, so there will be students from around the country here interviewing for London and for Science Honors, and that's always a wonderful weekend. It's always stressful for those that are involved, and there's so much kind of high ceremony to the weekend. I just love it. There's a banquet on Friday night, and then there are the interviews the next day, and the students come, and they are dressed to the nines, and they are wanting to impress us, and we're saying, it's okay, like, just be yourself. But they, you know what it's like if you're listening to be 17 or 18 and told to be yourself. So keep them in prayer, keep us in prayer as we try to make decisions. But just, it's a wonderful weekend that I've come to really appreciate. And it's usually our busiest honors weekend,
yeah,
too. I don't have numbers, but usually as we get to this time in the semester, people are getting serious about that pursuit. So just in closing, just as always, we are reaching out to you to pray for and support the work of Houghton. Houghton is not any one of us in this room. It is not a one-person thing. It's a community of people. And it's people who are here living on site and giving, and it's those of us who have received along the way, all of us working together. So if you value the work of Houghton, if it's something that you care about, please find a way to pitch in and help here. Just pray for us, send us your students, share your ideas with us, and let's work together, because we want to show the world what a healthy Christian learning community can look like. A reminder, as always, we throw it out there, we'd love to pray for you. We gather for prayer every morning at 7:30 in the Marjorie Payne Prayer Chapel. That's down here in the basement of Wesley Chapel. And at 3:45 each weekday, we have a communion service. And at both of those services, we lift up the needs of the Houghton community. And that's not just those of us who are here on campus, that's all of you listening. So if there's a way that we can pray for you, if there's a concern on your heart, please just send them to us at podcast@houghton.edu, and we'll be glad to lift you up in prayer. And during that service each morning, we have a special benediction we pray. And so we're going to offer that to you now in closing, as we always do.
May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors.
You have been listening to Bursting the Bubble, the podcast of Houghton College. For questions or comments on this program, email podcast@houghton.edu. Bursting the Bubble is a production of Houghton College. For more information about Houghton College, visit www.houghton.edu.